Welcome to the worship from Daleville Christian Church. It is our hope and prayer that you find in this time in God's Word some of the hope our Lord wanted to convey to you, a hope to bless you. That is why Jesus came to live among us. We always offer an affirmation of our faith together, and this one is from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the churches in the Greek city of Corinth, this one commonly referred to as 2 Corinthians. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. The reading of God's word for today is again from Matthew's Gospel in the 10th chapter, verses 5 through 15. Here Jesus is giving instructions to the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or a staff. For the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. We have been talking about the kingdom of heaven and what Jesus tells us about the kingdom of heaven. And why have we been doing that? But because it's the first thing Jesus says after Jesus' baptism and after Jesus' temptation by the devil. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And Matthew uses the term kingdom of heaven more times than any other book in the Bible, so I am strongly suggesting that you and I want to pay attention to Jesus' words and find out what Jesus is talking about. And we have discovered in the last month that Jesus isn't talking about our future. When Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven, Jesus is talking about now. Jesus is talking about entering the kingdom of heaven now. You get to choose. You decide. The kingdom of heaven isn't a place, it's a lifestyle. The kingdom of heaven is a way of life. A way of life. The early Christians of Jesus' generation were known as the people of the way. Jesus himself said, I am the way. In Matthew's gospel book, Jesus says, follow me. Jesus invites the disciples in the way of Jesus, follow me. The way of Jesus is not in the future, it is now. Last time, like today, we looked at Jesus' instructions to the disciples. You've heard these before. The instructions call for sparse living, don't they? The missionaries are to be dependent on God's grace, exhibited in people receptive to the good news of the gospel. So have you ever wondered about this phrase in the instructions? As you enter the house, salute it, and if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it, but if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Now, it is possible that you have never considered these instructions for yourselves. I think that's okay. This isn't the first century AD, and we are not being sent to the towns of Galilee and Judea. But what is this peace that Jesus spoke of? Was it a special blessing given to the disciples for the purpose of the mission? I doubt that, and you should doubt that too. Why? Well, Jesus told the whole crowd, in what we call the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Did Jesus actually believe that a few in the crowd would someday work in international relations or be the head of some ancient human resource department? I'm asking the question, and I have some doubts that Jesus had selected just a few people in the crowd to whom his words applied. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You know, I really don't know how many different versions of the Bible this congregation reads and uses. And as you know, I am fond of saying, the version of the Bible that you read should be the version of the Bible that you will read. Don't try to honor any version of a Bible without using it. Fair enough. But several different versions of the Bible put Jesus' instructions to the disciples this way: let your blessing remain with them, or let your blessing of peace remain with them. It sounds more like Jesus' words in Sermon on the Mount: blessed are the peacemakers. Now, Matthew doesn't use the word peace often, but Matthew uses the word bless quite a few times. Still, I'm left with the question about peace and blessing, things Jesus talked about. What was Jesus talking about? What is Jesus talking about? Jesus is using Old Testament language. The words peace and blessing show up in the Old Testament hundreds of times. Jesus quotes the prophet Isaiah more than any other book in the Bible, and you guessed it, the word peace shows up in Isaiah more than any other book of the Old Testament. That being said, let us not assume that giving peace to a household was to be no more than a social convention, a usual greeting from Jewish people to Jewish households. No. Well, I would put it this way: would you rather your neighbor wish peace upon your household, or would you rather a disciple of Jesus bless your house with peace? I think we all understand that we would rather have one of the disciples bless our house with peace. Then you got something. But what is it that's being given or blessed? I believe I should also confess that I'm much more interested in this topic than most Americans. Very few Americans in the last 200 years have been very interested in peace. Even our own President Wilson came up with a plan for the League of Nations after the First World War, the First World War where millions died all over the world and not much was accomplished. The League of Nations was intended to prevent war from happening again. And our own country could not get behind our own president's plan to try to prevent war. Many claimed that America was a Christian nation. Well, if that was true, someone forgot Jesus' words, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Having said that, there have always been pacifists in America. There were those in the 20th century, those of the Woodstock Nation, who believed in peace. The Woodstock Music Festival in 1969 was promoted as 3 days of peace and music. the logo, a dove perched on the neck of a guitar. Another advertisement for the Woodstock Music Festival spoke of an Aquarian exposition. The Age of Aquarius, the popular song sang when the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars, then peace will guide the planets and love will steer the stars. Come to find out, it isn't just a song. Some astrologers and astronomers say, depending on how you look at things, we could be entering an age of Aquarius. But you would expect astrologers to say that, wouldn't you? But honestly, most Americans are too busy to care much about peace. True? What we will discover is that the peace of the Messiah does not come over you. The peace of the Messiah comes from within. So getting back to God's word, which is always more helpful, better to consult the word of the one who made the stars rather than to consult the stars themselves. As I mentioned a minute ago, I think we all understand that we would rather have one of the disciples bless our house with peace rather than your neighbor or your cousin. But what is that peace? What is that blessing that is being given or blessed by the disciples? If we were well versed in the prophets, we would discover that the time of Messiah would bring peace, a peace better than was known even during King David's reign. So the peace offered by the disciples is a sign of the kingdom of heaven come, the Messiah. This peace of which the prophet spoke is several things at once. It is a peace with God, a reconciliation. And if reconciliation with God is announced, that would mean that reconciliation with neighbor and everyone else, including your crazy cousin, peace is possible. I once preached that with Christ the Messiah come, your past is being healed, God is present, and your future is assured. So what are you worried about? That is peace. It isn't a natural peace, you see. It's a supernatural peace. A peace that is not natural, because the lion shall lie down with the lamb and not eat the lamb. That's not natural. It is supernatural. This peace includes understanding, but it isn't knowledge, it's wisdom. Wisdom knows what is most important and what is not important. Remember, you and I worship a God of peace. That reference to a God of peace is in the New Testament 16 times. Remember that Messiah comes as Prince of Peace, and the preachers announce that same peace in Isaiah chapter 52. James' letter states, "The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who cultivate peace." All peace is of God. You and I worship a God of peace. The condition of peace is the very presence of God. To bless the house is an acknowledgement of the nearness of the kingdom of heaven, the nearness of God. It has come in Jesus. The Apostle Paul will say to the churches, "For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. And those throwing you into disorder are perverting the gospel." The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, the apostle wrote, will have to pay the penalty. Satan is called the lawless one. And where there is lawlessness, there is no peace. Paul finishes his letter to the churches in Rome saying, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." I received a Christmas card from a pastor's wife this last Christmas. She wrote, "Despite the confusion in our country, we will soon celebrate Jesus' birth, who came preaching peace, joy, and love." I'm not sure that I would have said it that way. Jesus was speaking to those who thought that they were excluded from the loving presence of God. Jesus came declaring, "You are not out, you're in. God does care about you. God does love you." And Jesus said, "I'm here to prove it." And Jesus was saying, "Since I have come and am present, God with you, Emmanuel, peace is available to you." Jesus, the way I talk about it, isn't so much preaching or proclaiming love and peace. Jesus is granting it. Jesus is conferring it to those who didn't believe they could receive love and peace. I would say it this way: you and I shouldn't have to work for peace. Peace wells up from within you because you are in Christ and Christ is in you. This peace can be a blessing to you and a blessing that you can give to others. It makes me think of a Christian counselor or a Christian therapist or a marriage counselor. Person walks into counseling feeling like a mess. And this person in the other chair is at peace, helping others sort out and sort through to be in touch with the peace of Jesus that is available. That therapist is conferring the peace blessing of Jesus. A person can come out of the therapist's office feeling more at peace, more hopeful that things can be different, that the present will give way to a better future. I think of Old Testament prophets, words like consolation, refreshment, encouragement, provision. Two more Bible references in the New Testament are tied into this kingdom coming. The kingdom has come near, and the peace blessing is a sign of it. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." The message of the ambassador of Christ is peace with God. Reconciliation. It's a peace that Jesus himself has won for us when we read in the prophet Isaiah, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed." We who are being healed, we who carry this message of peace within our hearts, we are ambassadors of Christ. Now, being an ambassador is not a status. Being an ambassador is a mission. As kingdom ambassadors, we do not do in Rome what the Romans do. We do what the sons of God do. We do what the children of the Heavenly Father do. Work for that same peace from the inside out in our lives and the lives of those around us. The Apostle Paul also proclaimed to the churches in the Greek city of Philippi, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Our citizenship is in heaven. Other versions say our homeland is in heaven. Our commonwealth is in heaven. Again, this is not a status. It isn't a status to say I'm an American. It's an identity. Being an American means that some things mean more to you. The American flag. Don't you feel any emotion when you hear our national anthem, especially during the Olympic Games? Being an American is a way of life. Being children of the Heavenly Father is also a way of life. Your citizenship is in the kingdom of heaven. while we are on earth, we, citizens of the heavenly kingdom, practice what is done in heaven. One scholar said it this way, and I'm trying to translate his English into ours. You know how scholars talk and write. He wrote, Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, offered consolation to everyone. That is, consolation, comfort, refreshment, encouragement, even to those who might only have been able to attend to one of those blessed groups that Jesus mentions in his Sermon on the Mount. Maybe you hadn't been much of a peacemaker, but you were humble and meek, and the meek shall inherit the earth. Or you were merciful, and so you will be shown mercy. Our Lord also said, if anyone even gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, that person will certainly not lose their reward. Jesus does not cut off hope. No matter how far you must come in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, no matter what way you go to the door of the kingdom of heaven, the way is still open to the kingdom of heaven. Jesus does not cut off hope. Jesus is our hope of living in the kingdom of heaven. An ancient leader of the church, after the apostles, once said, Jesus came down from heaven so that you and I could rise to heaven. The kingdom is open, thanks to Jesus. Jesus, who is the gate by which we enter, and for Jesus we are ambassadors, seeking to live the ways of our true homeland. And we point the way to the kingdom through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.